This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, it's a place each week to get the inside look at all things UAB. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is presented by Pearl River Resorts. Want to get away? Go to pearlriverresort.com to learn more. Welcome back to another The Inferno. It's got to have the in front of it. Trent Dilfer, the UAB football coach, of course, will join us here in a few minutes, and the UAB athletic director. He is Mark Ingram. He joins us every single week here for The Inferno, and we have a monster podcast for you this week. We like to call it a show. It's not a podcast. It's a show. Everyone does podcasts. Yeah. Ours is a show. This week in Blazer Athletics, had a lot going on there. We'll get into the coach's corner a little bit with Coach coming up in a few minutes. A very hot topic, the live experience. Would you watch college football from a movie theater?
Ooh.
We'll get into that. Smoke them if you got them. LSU looks like they've got a brand new deal. And it goes up in smoke. We'll get into that coming up in just a few minutes. And, of course, all of it brought to you by Legacy Credit Union. Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB. We'll be right back with The Inferno.
Are you getting sacked by monthly fees on your checking account? Trent Dilfer here, head coach of the UAB Blazers. Legacy Credit Union's everyday checking account can get you back in the game. No minimum balance, no monthly fees, and get paid up to 2 days early. Check out LegacyCreditUnion.com for more information and apply today. Legacy, the official credit union of UAB.
Welcome back to the Inferno, as we're doing a little karaoke here on the show prior to Trent Dilfer coming in for his coach's corner. Going to find out everything UAB in just a few minutes. In the meantime, me and Mrs. Jones, the man, the myth, the legend, you like him, you love him, you can't live without him. He is Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director. A lot going on with the UAB Athletics. So what's going on down there in the South Side?
We had a great event this past weekend, Fan Fest at Legacy Pavilion. It was terrific. We had, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of fans come out, kids getting autographs and pictures with our team and our coaches, and just a lot of fun. That pavilion is just fantastic for so many things, and that was another one. And we had a threat of rain, but we knew we were going to be able to work through that, and ended up being a beautiful day. But it was great to see so many fans out, you know, ready, very ready for college football, which was a lot of fun. And then Coach hosted former players at practice that night, which was nice, and had a bunch of, you know, ex-players telling lies and how great they were and all that kind of thing. It's always fun, and eating a little bit too, which they're all good at. And yeah, really, really good time, and getting ready for kickoff, which is here very, very soon.
It is game week. We are recording here on August 19th, and so it is game time, week zero coming up here. And, of course, that game's going to be in Dublin, Ireland, of all places. You bring up something very interesting, though, too, because a lot of people just haven't gotten a chance to go down there and enjoy Protective Stadium and or the Pavilion. We drive by it all the time, but just talk about some of these great facilities, because a lot of people don't even know they exist. They go, what is that thing down there? And they've been driving by it for the last 3 or 4 years, but they don't get a chance to go down there and check it out. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the Pavilion is very much that way. People pass it on I-65. Yeah. They're kind of, what is that thing? We get that all the time. Yeah, we also had last week a nice event down at Protective Stadium, a sponsor event. People that are sponsors through Blazer Sports Properties and are partners of ours. And I was talking to one of the new partners there, and she said, yeah, I've never been here before. And it's been there since 2021. She had not been to a game yet for anybody. And I didn't go to the Garth Brooks concert or the World Games or whatever. And I said, yeah, it's pretty great. And she says, I had no idea it was this nice. I said, I'm telling you, it may be the nicest college stadium in the country. It is really, really that good. And, so if you have not been – you're making a mistake. You need to bring your mom and bring your friends, bring your mama's friends, and you need to be there next week.
And I'll say this. It has got a super flow, man. I love it. It reminds me a little bit of the old Ted over in Atlanta, because you don't have to sit down for 3.5 hours if you don't want to and see everything you want. If you've got a family like mine that can't stay put for like more than 5 or 6 seconds and they just want to get up and walk around, you can actually watch the entire football game while you walk around with your kids. It's great.
Yeah, and we call it a drink rail. That was intentional. Mm-hmm. So there's a little 12-inch
that comes in handy
countertop all the way around the stadium. You can walk all the way around. People just don't watch games the way they used to. People used to, I would go to a game with my dad, and it was like we'd go in the gate, we'd go to the bathroom, we'd go to the concession stand, we'd go to our seat, and we wouldn't move until the end of the game. And that's just not the way it is anymore. People want to get up and see their friends. Oh, they're over here, because they can communicate with their cell phone. Oh, I'm at the game too. You're at the game. Oh my gosh, they're in, section R, and they want to walk around and see their friend. And so the ability to do that and not miss the game is key. So it really adds to the social experience of the game, which is why you want to be there live.
That's I'm glad you brought special. That up because right now, actually, I can add this third. There are two different ways to watch a game, and that mm-hmm. is in person, of course, or on TV from mm-hmm. your beast, from your recliner. Mm-hmm. Now there's a third way through this company called Cosm that we're going to get into in our hot topic a little bit later on. That's going to be pretty amazing. To see the UAB Blazers as part of this would be really, really cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of the devil, let's bring him in. Trent Dilfer joins us right now on the Inferno. Hey, come on,
woo!
Baby.
Come on,
baby. Let's go. Come there on. Hey, yeah.
Right off the practice field. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
It's like the Johnny Carson thing. You're invited to the couch, my man. Come on over here.
We need to get a curtain.
I'm not used to applause.
Oh, no.
That's good.
You're good to go. How you doing, Coach? Everything good?
I'm great.
It is game week, man. I don't like week zero. I don't really don't get that. They can call it whatever they want. All I know is there's going to be college football coming up on Saturday, and it's going to be in Ireland. But you've done that. You've been there. You've coached it. You've played it. You've done everything from the highest levels. You won Super Bowls. What's chiming in inside your body? What's churning? How's the body feel right now? Are you eating well? Are you sleeping all right? Is the wife staying off your nerves? What's going on in the life of Trent Dilfer on game week?
I'm doing good. I'm taking better care of myself, so I think that helps.
Yeah.
In my routine of working out and eating healthy and all those good things. So that helps clear my mind. As a team, more importantly, I think we're so focused on getting better every day. You know, we have such a steep hill to climb. We knew coming off last season, we had to get exponentially better in every area of our building. So the challenge every day is to go 1-0 in your department, you know, in your position group and as units. And we've actually done a really good job of that. Some people just say those things. Very few do them. We've been very intentional getting better every day at something. So we're just so locked in on getting better for tomorrow's practice. And we figure we stack enough of those up, and if practice is hard enough, then the game should feel easy, and it should be a byproduct of our preparation.
It is such a funky, weird year. We're going to have 12 teams in the playoffs the first time ever. We got teams jumping from the Pac-12, the ACC, the AAC, the SEC. I mean, it's just crazy. Then, of course, you can undoubtedly say he's the greatest football coach we've ever had. Nick Saban's not going to be on the sideline for the first time in 17 years. It's just going to be kind of bizarre. And here you are in your second year. I want to get more into the Nick Saban aspect of it and ESPN just a few seconds and kind of pull that curtain back on that part of your career. But I want to ask you about Zeno and what he's doing right now, of course, now up for the Manning Award. It seems like every week I turn around, he's up for another award, the Davey O'Brien, the Manning Award. Just talk about him, his health, how he's feeling, now coming into his senior year. Lights out, could be one of the greatest years any UAB quarterback's ever had. We're trying to get ahead of ourselves, but it could be exciting.
Well, hopefully from a win-loss standpoint. You know, this comes up a lot with the media these days, and and Jacob understands this too. Like, he'll be defined by his wins and losses, not by his yards. In college football, it's easy to throw for a lot of yards.
Mm-hmm.
If you're creative offensively, what's hard to do is win. You know, it's hard to win one possession games where you drive your team down in the last minute of the game and punch it in to seal the deal. So we're very focused on developing him, and he's very focused on developing as a winner. And that's a style of play. Will he throw for a lot of yards? That depends on how defenses play us. You know, we don't want to run the ball too. So, you know, I'm very curious to see how teams play us this year offensively. I think he'll be very efficient. He's had an incredible camp. I think one of the reasons these award nominations are coming up is because we've had 85% of the NFL scouts come through during training camp, and scouts talk. You know, that's a lot where the media does too. The media will talk to scouts, say, hey, we don't know anything about UAB, Jacob Zeno, what's it look like? And they're like, dang, we just watched a day of practice, kid's a machine. So he's had a very, very good camp, things that he was already good at. The challenge to him is we use the 80-20 principle. Invest 80% of our resources on the 80% he's already good at.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to take from good to great in the things he was good at. And he's taken on that challenge. He's become great at some things. And then devote 20% of our resources to the 20% he needs to improve on. And that's not a lot, but there's things that he could get much better at, and he has gotten better at those. So we'll be more diverse offensively because of him. Our player, he's grown as a leader. Our offense has run more efficiently because he runs the show. So there's a lot of good things coming out of camp.
Something that's very hard.
He's got to be a lot more confident too.
Mm-hmm.
He was confident in his ability. Now he's confident within his ability in the system.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate using that term system. We don't run a system. We just
He's not questioning himself on what to do on this play.
And he's got mastery. You know, we're huge quiz test takers. It's one of my core values in coaching a team is you have to constantly quiz and test them. So he walks in every single morning, what we call a 1% quiz, and it's usually, you know, 4 to 8 minutes. It's just pretty hard. Nick Coleman challenges him. Mm-hmm. He's done in 30 seconds.
Yeah, all right.
Like, he just sits there and goes, oh, okay. And now he's starting to finish our sentences for us. I challenged him. I said, we'll know this thing's going to be good when you start finishing more nice sentences.
Something that you certainly don't have a lot of say over is the health of your football team. How's it look? I haven't heard anything, so that's good news.
No, well, news, we good lost news. Two really, really talented freshmen that – probably would have helped at some point during the year to kind of some weird shoulder injury thing. So they'll be out for the year. Besides that, I would say Knicks. You know, we got – and we've been very careful. We've taken care of our old farts, as I call them. You know, we got these guys in the transfer portal. They're fifth, six-year guys. And we had some already that had gone through Bill Clark's regime. And now I have them for a couple of years. They're on their last year. We've taken good care of those guys so that they don't get nicked up. So I think we've done a good job managing that. But we've had the soft tissue stuff that everybody else has had. We've had some sprains and boo-boos. Lyle's done a great job. Dan's done a great job. Dan Springer's our trainer. Lyle Henley, our director of strength and conditioning. They combine and kind of have a plan for these guys. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing guys come back. Not too soon, but when they do come back, they're coming back full speed.
Brought to you by Pearl River Resort. He is the athletic director for the UAB Blazers, Mark Ingram.
Man, that place is nice, Tony. We got to go to Pearl River.
I've been there. I don't know if you guys – I've been there. I've played the golf course. I've hung out.
Dude, I mean, let's go.
Yeah, that's what everybody says, how great it is.
Let's go down there. Every time I turn the TV on, I see a commercial for it. I think the three of us could get
out there. Golf courses are phenomenal.
It just makes good sense.
We could tear it up.
Yeah, they're Fazio designs. They're beautiful. I mean, they're gorgeous golf courses. I took Nick Coleman over there, my quarterback's coach, this offseason. We played, and we just were blown away.
You don't have to ask me twice. Let's do it.
Right.
It should be a lot of fun. This is Coach's Corner here with Trent Dilfer. I wanted to ask you something. We mentioned Nick Saban a few minutes ago. He's getting ready for his first TV gig coming up this Saturday. I was blessed enough to go up and work up at ESPN for a very brief period of time. You worked there for 9 or 10 years. Just give us a little behind the scenes of what to expect for Nick Saban. He's in a different place now. Obviously, he's done pretty well talking in front of the media for a long period of time. Now he's on the other side. But what can he expect in his first day of work up there?
Well, we were talking last. I called Coach last week. I needed some advice on a few things, and he was gracious enough to actually call me back after a text, which freaked me out. But I asked him, I said, are you excited about this thing? And he knows my background, and he was like, yeah, like I have something to offer, you know, and he does. I think he has incredible insight. I think he can take us behind the veil of college football better than any human, and I think he will. And he's lucky enough to be working for by far the best producer at ESPN. Like, it's not even close. Big Red, Matt Garrett. They call him Big Red because his head mark is literally twice the size of mine. He's got the largest head of any human. He'll be giggling if he listens to this. Joey and I worked close with him for years. He produced me on a bunch of different shows.
Do you have red hair?
Yes.
Perfect.
He is fantastic. He's the best. And he will coach up. And Coach won't be part of, like, the bad side of ESPN. You know, Matt will shield him. Because he doesn't have social media, Coach doesn't, he won't have to deal with that piece of it. I don't think they're going to try to micromanage him. I think he'll have very much a Pat McAfee experience where they're going to kind of wind him up and let him go and take – and by the way, Coach's class, he's not going to mess anything up, but he's going to take us places that some people don't want to go. And ESPN and Matt Garrett will allow that. In fact, they'll stimulate that.
What I don't think people realize is how difficult it is to do television
early on.
It takes a while. I mean, I went to Xavier University, and it was one of the greatest communication colleges in the country. And kids would be going to school 7-8 years to become a radio disc jockey or on television, and they just couldn't get it. I'm like, you can't go to school to become a TV person. Either have it or you don't. You have it, and I think Nick Saban does too.
Yeah, we can do a whole pod on that. I think that, you know, what I learned was, at first, when you're trying to be something you're not, mm-hmm. very good at it. You could learn the X's and O's of TV and do it systematically and still suck.
Yeah.
Right? The gift is being you within the X's and O's of TV. Like, you get a 12-second rap call and you still have a minute of information to give out, you need to turn a minute into 12 seconds to still make sense and still be you and not just be like you're reading off a teleprompter. That's the other thing, too, is people think we're reading off teleprompters. No. That's just the anchors. Nothing's on teleprompter. I mean, these are sometimes you use a note to reference, but a lot of times this is stuff that you've spent the whole week thinking about. So you got nine ways of saying one thing depending on the flow. And then I think the best TV when I was part of it, and my favorite, and whether people liked it or not, was Steve, me, Ray, and Stuart or Susie. And that became a conversation that others were allowed into. And I think if coach learns that, he may be the best person on TV. Because look at why people like McAfee so much. And he's incredibly gifted, but they're just having a conversation in the studio and people happen to be watching it.
Yeah.
And if they can turn that college football set into that magic where just a bunch of dudes are talking, we're just having a conversation, drinking some beer, hitting some dirts, right? Yeah. And the fan gets to turn on the TV and go, wow, I get to look in on their conversation about college football. That's the magic. The problem is you need everybody on the set to buy into that. And you don't need the one-shot dude. You don't need the guy that goes, okay, I got this big comment. Give me the one shot. And he stares into the camera. And then that's the problem is we end up working with those people. Mm-hmm. And like two of us want to have a conversation, but homeboy wants to do the one shot every 45 seconds and he jacks up your whole show.
That is hilarious.
I think that's where coach, when he learns it, he'll look at that guy and be like, yo, you ain't doing that.
No.
Like when Nick tells you to do anything, you do it.
Yeah. And I think that's
you don't know what you're talking about.
I think that's something that Pat McAfee's done a really good job at too. Because, I mean, he first came on, it was like, oh, gosh, where's it going to go? And he really understands the intricacies, and of course, with his own TV show. I got a chance to go up there back in 1991, I guess it was, for about a month and a half, and work with Doug Gottlieb and Sean Salisbury. And
I did a ton together.
Yeah, and I can remember I was pulling in, and my flight was late. And so our show was from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. was college game night, and it was 6:30. And so I'm assuming I'm going back to my hotel, and they took me straight to the radio station and said, you're on. And I said, pull the car over, and I puked all over the parking lot. I was so damn nervous. I was like, are you serious?
Most nervous I ever got was Steve Levy about 15 minutes before SportsCenter said, you're co-anchoring with me. And I said, what?
You have been one now?
I've been on SportsCenter 100 times as the analyst.
You are
co-anchoring with me, and my butterflies.
Now you're reading like teleprompters.
Yeah, and I got to know ins and outs and all the things that SportsCenter anchors are very gifted, by the way. And I was so nervous. He looks at me right before we hit, hey, you're on. You know, they get in your ear and say, okay, we're live. He looks right before me and goes, you can't mess this up. And it's just everything. He goes, I'll take care of you. Yeah. And he did. He just babysat me through the whole thing and teed me up when I needed to be teed up. And I got done. I felt like I was a SportsCenter anchor.
That's awesome. Today's Coach's Corner brought to you by Pepsi and Aviva Health. And, of course, the fine folks at Pearl River Resort. Go down there, check it out. Go to the Dancing Rabbit. Maybe you'll see Mark Ingram and Trent Dilfer and Tony Curry
rolling the bones. I'll be in the woods.
Yeah, but we'll be hitting bombs. All that matters anymore in golf is just hit as hard as you can.
Pro golfers have it so easy, though, Trent. They always hit it right down the middle. They're always playing from the middle of every. Like, I've got my club. I'm hitting left-handed with a right-handed club. I got my foot on a tree. Like, they don't have any idea what I'm
dealing. You're basically Van Gogh of golf. Yeah. Like, you're painting a picture where your golf ball goes. Yeah, you're not linear.
It's so simple for them. I just don't understand why they think it's hard. It's hard for me. Their game is like nothing.
Was it Chuck the Hitman Hider, the guy who used to have a golf club that was like 30 feet long, made out of rope, and he could hit golf balls and make golf balls kiss in the air. He used to do the Regis.
I haven't seen that, but I'm sure it's cool.
I know exactly Hitman. He was a trick guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and he could actually get two golf balls. He could get a 7-iron was the most versatile. He goes, I get 11 yards out of it. I get 111. I get 211. I get 300. He got 311 yards out of a 7-iron. And he can make two golf balls kiss in the sky. And it's like, you're so good at that. Why aren't you on the tour?
Yeah, why can't you get
and
in
he
the
said,
hole?
I have been. I he goes, butt. But Tony goes, the difference between shooting a 75 and a 72 is the reason I'm not. He goes, I could shoot 75 all day, but I cannot shoot a 72.
That's why. I can't make a 2-foot putt.
If we ever want to do golf, I got a million golf stories. A million golf stories. But they'll probably be boring.
Right? Can't wait to hear it. This is the Inferno. Of course, you can check us out, UABSports.com. We're everywhere you get your favorite podcast. Of course, you can also hear it on Tony Courier Radio. Happy to have Mark Ingram on for the last couple of years in the UAB Director's Chair show. You can go back and listen to as many shows you want. Of course, Trent Dilfer and Andy Kennedy will also join the show a little bit later on.
The second best looking bald guy.
there you have it.
Athletic department.
There you have it. I wanted to get into something I thought was really interesting. There's two different ways you can watch a football game, and that is, of course, go see it, or you can watch it on television. Back in our day, I'm not going to do the old man on the front porch, but I will tell you there were two or three games that were televised, and one of those was a PPV, and then that was it. You had to listen to the radio. Now you can catch every game you want on television. We know that. There is a brand-new company called COSM, C-O-S-M, that was part of the Las Vegas Sphere. I don't know if you've been out there, you've seen this thing. It's unbelievable. It's unlike any type of production or access you're ever going to have as far as in going to entertainment. So what they're doing now is they're bringing the game to the students. Remember during COVID, ACM and all these movie theaters were losing their butts because they couldn't sell tickets.
Yeah.
And so they decided they're going to start showing college football games, i.e. Taylor Swift has her concert, the New Era thing, and it's made billions of dollars. And so they're showing that. And so they're building these venues for $80 to $90 million a piece. There's one in Dallas and one in L.A. already. And it's basically IMAX on steroids. And they're going to start selling tickets for people that can't afford to go to college football games or to Taylor Swift concerts.
There.
The average price of a ticket will be $33. Do you think that's something that will fly? Will people do that? I mean, we're already going to B-dubs and other places to watch games. And I will say this. I do love the comfort of my chair. But to be around a room full of people that are on the same side I'm on feels pretty doggone good, too. But I just want to get your thoughts on that. Is that something will fly?
I think it will. I think people, people have shown that if the experience is a good one, they'll attend, right? If it's nice, if the access is easy, how hard is it to get there? How hard is the parking? It's parking simple. They have good food. What are the other things that come with the game? Can I get a beer? And yes, I can. But I had to mortgage my house to get it. If it's affordable and it's really nice, I think they'll have a ton of people do it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I hope it's not too close to the stadiums.
Right.
I hope it doesn't affect ticket sales because there's nothing like the pageantry of college football
in person.
So I'd hope it doesn't take away from the pageantry.
We see that now, though, right? Outside the Super Bowl, they've got big screen TVs and people are standing outside just to be. I mean, the tailgating aspect of the game is as good as the game itself.
I never thought anybody would watch on their phone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a ton of people are watching games on their phone. If they're traveling or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
When we're traveling after the game or whatever, we're on the bus. We're an hour at the airport.
Yeah.
I'm watching.
We all do.
The
whole bus is full of it.
Yeah,
I remember
I'd ever do that.
Go, when I was retired in Austin, I'd drive up to Fort Worth to watch my middle daughter play at TCU, and I'd have my wife drive so I could watch college football on my iPad.
It's crazy. Right. Never thought I'd do that.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Finally here, before we wrap the show up, and of course you can hear the show wherever you get your favorite podcast, please enjoy it, support it, because money does go into the show, into the collectives for NIL, so we greatly appreciate that. Another way to make money is perhaps getting business with a cigar company. It's gone up in smoke for LSU. Normally we tell people not to smoke because we're trying to get off the vaping thing. In the meantime, LSU is now in bed with this company called Bocock Brothers Cigars, the first officially licensed LSU branded cigar. They're running about $14.95 a piece. They come in boxes of 20. They come in 50 gauge and 55 gauge. And coming up this September, you can actually buy these cigars wherever you want to get your favorite LSU cigars. They look pretty good. There's an LSU Habano. There's an LSU Connecticut, which are emblazoned with a familiar purple and gold seal on the LSU jerseys. Those are going to be sold on an ongoing basis. The limited edition line LSU Centennial Edition is set to be a one-off special release that could be priced as well as $100 per cigar. Any ideas?
I think what it says is, look, you got to be entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
You got to, anything you can do to generate revenue within the boundaries of your state law, people are trying to do. They're trying to get creative and find new revenue streams between the house settlement and what we've been dealing with through NIL. People have got to find new ways to generate dollars. It's, for us, our collective Magic City Impact is critically important. We're asking all of our fans to give at least $10 a month to the Magic City Impact. Go to magiccityimpact.com, and you can support us that way, and we need you to, and we need thousands of people to. So this is really what you're reading there is just another way that LSU is trying to generate revenue, whether it's jersey patches or logos on the field. These things are all going to be more prevalent for us.
It's so funny. Go ahead.
Well, Andy and I were talking about it this summer. We're like, we don't like this. Like, Andy and I aren't from the school, but it's the reality.
Yeah.
And it's what you're asking your fan base who's invested in winning, right? Because this is what's going to be winning.
So, sure.
Where it used to be recruiting, this is now, it's like recruiting / NIL.
Yeah.
You're recruiting your own team, right? And you need dollars to keep them. And you're recruiting other players in the portal. And now these schools, we don't, but these schools are paying high school players in recruiting. So you got to do it, whether you like it or not. And Mark's absolutely 1,000% correct. You can't just have your donor base support it. It's sure. going to run dry at some point. So you got to create revenue platforms. And I think anything, like I've seen all these, what one hit me the other day with Tennessee. We're talking about Tennessee signed a big pilot deal, right?
Yeah, Pilot gas station is putting their logo on the field.
On the field,
yeah.
Which is massive. But it's anything. You got to find anything to generate revenue for your athletic department, not just your teams.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to have a chance to win.
Yeah, Keith Urban, show up at a Buc-ee's. Maybe you could get Keith Urban to come down and.
I've always wanted a Buc-ee's deal. I'm going public. Like, I'd turn down
on,
a lot of things. Yeah. If I was offered a Buc-ee's deal for free beef jerky and dried mango, I'm in. I'd do paid appearance.
You don't need a lot.
I'd waive my appearance fee just to get the beef jerky and the dried mango.
That is great. The brisket sandwich.
They're good. I like the sausage wrapped in the tortilla. Like, I can go on. My grandson.
You had breakfast there?
Oh, I've had everything.
Breakfast's pretty good.
So my grandson, and my daughter hates it, but my grandson has the 4th of July Buc-ee's doll. He's got the regular Buc-ee's doll.
Mm.
He's got the onesie when he was a baby. He's got the hat. He's got the trunks.
Thank goodness.
The little board
the
shorts.
Bathing suit.
Like, I've spent as much money in Buc-ee's as I think I have anywhere.
We the one here in Birmingham is actually pretty close to my house, and we find ourselves going
there. How do you
not
go to it all the time?
I go there about, honestly, once every 2 weeks for sure, maybe more, to get gas. It's a little out of the way, but not a ton. But the gas price is so good, I find myself going there. But we go there before about every single road trip that our family
Heck
makes
because
it's right on I-20, and we got to go in one direction or the other. And
I go out of my way to go there. I live nowhere close to that.
If I'm low on gas today, and I'm like, I got to get gas on the way home, I try to figure out, do I have enough to get me to the Buc-ee's because it's a little out of the way.
Yeah.
But, I actually was at the pump last week. This is not a joke. I'm at the pump last week, and I'm doing the math. I'm like, okay, I saved 14 cents a gallon, and I got this many gallons. That would be, and then that multiplied by the number of miles I get per gallon. I'm like, I'm getting about 64 miles more.
Let's go.
That's what I'm getting. So it's worth the extra 5 miles out
Heck
of the way,
yeah.
right? To pick up 55 miles. This is how cheap I am, Tony.
And you
do
can
you
go inside and get something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got to resist all that I have.
Oh, no.
Then I go inside and come out with beaver nuggets or something.
So my son-in-law, daughter.
Which are not good. I'm no offense to the good people.
No, I will give you that. The nugs aren't.
They're not good.
I got the nugs. They're not that good.
But my family knows if they're coming down from Nashville, they better ask me. Dad,
there's a new one right there on 65, right?
He wants to stop at Buc-ee's on 65.
Is that Athens? I can't remember.
Athens
is
the one where Keith was.
That's where he was,
95,000 people showed up.
It's crazy.
I've never been to a place where they have 37,000 pumps and I can't find one that's open.
I've
never seen anything like that.
Well, because I'm a culprit here because a lot of times you do the automatic gas. And then I'm just going to run in.
You're parking it for a while.
But then I end up in there too long. I'm never doing that again because I feel bad.
Don't do that again.
Yeah.
This is the Inferno brought to you by all of our wonderful sponsors here, including Pearl River Resort. I want to mention Legacy Credit Union. Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB. And, of course, Coach's Corner brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. We'll do it again coming up next week. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, I'm Tony Curry along with Mark Ingram, Coach Trent Dilfer. This is the Inferno. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, it's a place each week to get the inside look at all things UAB. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is presented by Pearl River Resorts. Want to get away? Go to pearlriverresort.com to learn more.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, If you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embrace the if in life.